strength I don't know how to play. And I don't want to anyway. Need to delete this game and go back to another save. But my hard drive's fucked. Zero charisma, zero luck. I don't have any skills or the XP to fix my.
Hello and welcome to the 24th episode of the National Institute for Gamer Review. I am DK.
I'm Lewis, and the goal at the end of the first half is to have more points than their team.
That's like a... That reminds me of, what was it, Dodgeball with Ben Stiller,
yeah.
Kind of a tier of commentary, which I don't know that it's necessarily worth its own episode.
Well, but... it's like latter day John Madden when he was losing it a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but exactly. They're clearly like parodying that in that, that movie. Yes, and today we are discussing Madden, the man, the football series. I think probably also to some extent, inevitably, football itself is an American pastime. But all examined through the lens of Madden NFL, or I guess it was, well, we can go into that.
John Madden football.
John Madden football.
No relation to the NFL.
Yeah, right. Because back then it was the bigger deal. I think there's a lot to say about it. And
I would, as Cronkite was to news, as what's National Review guy?
National Review. I mean, Joe, who?
The founder of National Review.
Oh, Bill Kristol.
No,
not Bill. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
Now I'm blanking.
Yeah.
Got a man at Yale. Holy crap.
How about
Buckley?
Buckley, as Buckley was to conservatism. John Madden was to football.
Basically,
and Cronkite was to new. Like, it's... John Madden is and was football, and now that he's gone, he's still, like...
Gone but not dead. I actually...
Not dead.
You suggested this. I was like, John Madden, oh, yeah, you know, he must have... I guess he died not that long ago. No, he's still alive.
And not as old as... He's 85,
he's
which is
only
old,
85.
But, like,
Yeah, you'd think he'd be a lot...
I mean, he had degeneration.
You'd think he'd be,
mind.
Like, 100. Yes. Yeah, he's clearly...
He clearly would let, you know...
Yeah. He's been
10 years ago
mentally
he was gone
for a while. Yeah.
10 years ago it was a meme that he was gone.
Right.
And now he's 10 years older, so you know.
Yeah. But yeah, and I think in a lot of ways, we've talked a lot and on the show, and I'm sure we'll continue to talk about just the impact of technology and the increased availability of processing power and the effect that this has had on the video gaming industry. And I think really it's hard for me to think immediately of an example, maybe generally speaking, first person games, although that's kind of such a huge topic. And I don't know that I would even necessarily say that with the maybe big asterisk partial exception of first person shooter type games, the you can really chart the development of video games as a medium in the relationship to technology more than anything else in terms of sports games. Early video game adaptations of sports are extremely impressionistic.
Arguably I guess you call it, I don't know if I say binary, but you play the football game where it's all lines and you're the blinking lines and
I don't remember
it's like the handheld, it's called like football.
Yeah.
It's really,
yeah, right, exactly.
And
yeah.
It's like it's binary effectively almost.
Well, so that's this whole like Game & Watch type thing where it's like essentially it's the kind of early video games where it's not even producing graphics per se. It's like
it's lighting up lights.
Exactly.
In an order that
exactly. Or even prior to that, I don't know, in San Francisco, there's a museum of arcade. Have you heard of this?
I have heard of it. Yeah, they have a big expo every year or something like that where you can come in and play for free, or it's this huge day.
They have different stuff. Well, like yeah, I've only been I think once or twice, and I went, and it was like I had to pay to go in. I think it's actually free, and then they charge modern prices. It's all like. It's all like 1910s vintage, like very little. It's maybe the mechanical arcade or something. It's all or mostly like really really old, like again it's like stop it's
pre-graphical.
Pre-graphical, yeah. It's electric but mechanical. They have like a base. One of the fun things to do, they have like a baseball where it's basically like pinball, and you like you there's a metal ball, yeah, that's like the baseball, and you like swing the.
A hamburger
metal.
Place by my house had one of those growing up.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Lots of fun, right? And but it sort of reduces. Now, of course, you know, maybe I guess dedicate, you know, Golden Glove winners would probably disagree. Hitting, I think, is the most fun part of baseball. Is yeah. that probably fair to say? And yeah. definitely as a kid, that's the thing that you most focus on. You derive the most enjoyment from. And it's a natural fit for the kind of, like, if you want to reduce the game to, like, a one specific action to, like, represent it in a kind of, you know.
I mean, famously, Wii Sports. That's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's all you do. It's just hitting. Yeah, it's like a. And, hitting and you have oh, you and you have, what, like, home run derbies. You don't have, like, ball, you know, yeah. left field fly catching simulator, yeah. right? That's not a thing. So football, I think, in some ways more so than baseball. Like baseball, at least, you know, hitting is kind of, you can extract it and you can say, like, it's not quite the essence of the sport, but
it's a timing game too, like, to it.
Yeah. yeah. With football, it's a lot harder. I guess
football is interesting because the challenges of programming a football game are very high, because there's a lot of reasons for this, but I think one of the big ones is that penalty, like rule breaking, is an intrinsic part of football, is that you can break the rules and be penalized for it. How do you program a thing
right
to allow you to break a rule
right.
and then call you on it? It's much easier not let you break the rule, right?
Exactly. Unless it's like NFL Blitz, where you like specific, it's yeah. like the whole thing is yeah. about like late hits, and we could talk about, I'm sure it'll come up again. Well, and that's why where I was going with this was the one way around that problem, or at least sort of halfway around that problem, is to approach the design in terms of a simulation, which is the direction that these things have gone, and to the point now where it's a quite intense.
Well, that's one of the things that John, when we talked about earlier in the little pre-show, John Madden demanded this. This is like, as a result of his, as not a gamer who probably never really played much, I'm sure he watched people play it and gave us a thumbs up, thumbs down to a degree. But they licensed his like name in 1984, so like three years after Donkey Kong comes out, they're trying to make Madden,
right?
Which is
which is insane if you think about it. I mean, it's just, for sure, like, not.
And he says he says no. Well, he says yes, but what you have right now for me, I'm sure it was like Tech Mobile adjacent,
right?
Or some level.
Which
of,
if some Zoomers.
What's the Nintendo football on NES thing?
Tecmo Bowl. I'm not sure that there was another one.
There was. I remember. Maybe it was a different system. There have been football games, but of course they're very, very abstract.
Right.
Tecmo Bowl is actually pretty good.
Tecmo Bowl is really fun, but it abstracts. I think that's part of its enduring appeal. It works, right?
Yeah.
Like it's simple enough that it's technologically feasible.
It's a football inspired game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's closer to like some actually kind of rugby ish.
Yeah,
and you're
yeah.
kind of just pushing it across the field.
Right. It's yeah. not it's exactly, but and yeah, it doesn't have like proper, you know, 10-yard everything, and
yeah.
it just sort of abstracts all that away, and but you'd still the end result feels like football.
Yeah, it's
but
fun,
but it's clearly not a simulation at the yeah. same time.
So. Madden says, come back to me when you have a product that looks like football. And they did it. In 1988, they did it. They created Madden Football, and the kind of rest is history. They, of course, didn't have the license at the time.
The NFL license.
Yes. Well, the NFL. They actually got the... They didn't have the players yet, to either.
Right,
I believe they,
yeah.
believe they got the license for the NFL before the players, too.
They did. And I think for the first edition on, like, the very first Super Nintendo game didn't have player likenesses, and then the second one did, or something like that.
Well, they also did, like, the fake likenesses, where they, like, changed the name slightly.
Yeah, right.
And keep the numbers off yeah. by one. So the thing with this is that back then, it was before the player unions... were negotiating video game rights, is that they didn't think to do it. So now, like, when you get player likenesses, it's because they negotiate with the union of the players.
Right, yes.
Because the NFL does not own your likeness as a person.
Yeah,
they own your likeness
as a player.
As a player. Yeah. So they own you as, like, the Eagles running back. They don't own your name and stuff. So it was... And also, that was just... this was just people accepted it. That's why you have Wayne Gretzky hockey, and they'd have Wayne Gretzky in it and no other players. Because that would they
right. They have his license for him, but no, but for no one else. Yeah. And oh wow, I didn't realize this. So So I just learned something. The developer. So okay. So the timeline here, as you said. So the first release was actually MS-DOS only, and that was 1988. Then in 1990, you had the same title, John Madden Football, on the Genesis and the Super Nintendo. Then in 1991, you had John Madden Football 2 for MS-DOS. And then you had John Madden Football 92 in 1991 for the Genesis. And John Madden Football 93 for the Genesis and the Super Nintendo. Interestingly, however, so the... The developer for the Super Nintendo, well, I guess those the that second generation after the first title, was Paul Neurath of Blue Sky Productions. Paul Neurath, who that OGs will know, that's the guy who made Ultima Underworld, Descent, Thief the Dark Project, System Shock 2, Neverwinter Nights. I mean, he's a huge... And most recently, the kind of total failure, unfortunately, of Underworld Ascendant. But he is a, like a really important figure in like the transformation of the video game industry from a kind of novelty into something attempting, you know, I mean, again, System Shock 2 is with Deus Ex, both of which we're going to be doing episodes on it in the future. You know, just very important immersive sims and you know, just...
Yeah, he's a sim guy.
And, he's a sim guy.
They need
a sim guy, right? Yeah, exactly. Makes a lot of sense. That's fascinating. Yeah, because he would have been working on that basically simultaneously with Ultima Underworld.
Yeah. Can you imagine? So he's a very, like, very simulator guy. Can you imagine if they go into, like, a different sim guy, like a Sid Meier's Football?
I mean, I can imagine.
As, like, a strategy game.
That's, like, basically...
And John Madden would have gone for that, because he actually kind of preferred, like, football as a strategy game.
Yeah.
Than if...
Maybe we should back up just a little bit and explain who John Madden is for the Zoomers, et cetera, in our audience. Maybe even some Millennials.
Oh, yeah. I mean... Madden is a, how do you describe this? Like a, so John Madden was in the early days of football. He, in college, he, high school, he played both ways. Like that's how long ago this was. He played offense and defense on the line. He was a middling prospect coming out of college, drafted by the Eagles. He had injuries in college. And never really had an NFL career. He played for 1 year, kind of, mostly in the practice squad or as a reserve. And after that, he's kind of unique in that he went to school in this kind of boomer prosperity era. Mm-hmm. I think he's a Silent Generation guy, but he had degree in teaching, like children. And with that, he started doing coaching, basically, and ended up as a very well-reputed linebacker coach on the Raiders. And this was the era of Al Davis, he's like a kind of notorious owner of the Raiders, who went senile and drove the team to the ground later. And he was crazy the entire time, notoriously so.
Was he a Hollywood type person?
No, I think he was like a local magnate.
Okay.
As was the time.
Because Davis, you know, can be like, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure he was just local, because he was nuts. Because he was like a,
it's like a, he was like a car dealership magnate, like one of these local types who like, he has one successful dealership, then makes it like four successful dealerships,
And I'll sponsor the local team, and it turns out to be huge and probably the best deal you ever made.
Well, right, that's also from, that's also the era, like, because I mean, back then,
football teams were cheap, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like a huge money making thing. Well, yeah,
and John Madden is part of that transformation later.
Yeah.
He is a linebacker, not a coach, which is not a very, not an unimportant coach, but relatively minor in like the pecking order of coaches, somewhere below the quarterback's coach and somewhere above the special teams
special
coach.
Team coach.
Well,
right,
coach, yeah. Well, depends. We get to live the hierarchy of coaches. Anyway, he's not a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. So it's very unique in that he was very young. He was in his 30s, and this crazy guy was doing like the good mania of his craziness. That perfect mix of the cocaine and the booze, where he does brilliance as opposed to dumb stuff. And he hires this guy to be his head coach. All internal. The youngest head coach. Not ever. I think there's been younger ones since then, but he was at the time very, very young. Was a very successful coach. And then had a full coaching career. He started so young. And in his late 40s, transferred to broadcasting. And at this point, football was still a minor sport. The biggest sport was for sure baseball. Football was on TV on Sundays, but baseball was the sport. To the point where when foreigners identified baseball with America instead of football, that's the reason for it. It was the American sport in like the biggest era of prosperity. And John Madden going over to be like the face of football on TV with a background as a teacher and a coach, like taught America football and how to watch it as opposed to like the spectacle. Football is a very like cerebral game. And John Madden broke it down. He started drawing the X's and the O's on the screen.
Yeah, I think when he did that, when he started doing that, people had never seen that before.
Yeah, and I think he pushed a lot of things, making it more visually stimulating. The first down, I don't know if it was his idea, but he was always in favor of like showing the audience more, to show them what the players see. To the point where football is actually arguably easier to watch on TV.
Oh, it's way easier
than in person. Now, in person, it's a great experience to watch a football game in person, but...
No, but it's... if nothing else, like... I mean, I was talking about this with a friend of mine a while back at one point, and he was... it wasn't in the context of football exclusively. It was... but it was in the... It was essentially like... I forget what he was watching. I mean, it doesn't matter. Point was, he was like, you know, I actually noticed that the thing is, I'm so habituated to instant replay, because when you're watching at home on a TV, and obviously the network will like play the same play over and over again, you get to see every angle of it multiple times. That just doesn't happen live. Maybe once or twice, if that, on like the the big replay screen, it'll show it like once. But other than that, for the most part,
it is funny they pushed that onto the that was pushed from TV to live.
Exactly. Yeah, it wasn't originally like it wouldn't have done that at all.
Yeah.
And to the point where it's like hard to watch anything live or any other sport, like any go to a baseball game, go to a whatever, any kind, not even just sports, like any kind of like or I guess mostly sports, but where you're just used to, something happens, you have time to kind of see it over and over again from different angles. In the absence, when you don't have that, it feels weird.
Absolutely.
And
it's funny also, like being watching a football game live compared to on TV shows you how difficult it is to coach, because on TV you can see the timeouts, the clock management, the play, all these things are very well. And when John Madden started, these things were not as well served, like evidenced. And he was a big proponent, and most people were, of like getting all the information that on screen, so it's easier to absorb. I mean, if you watch older football games, they don't even have to score all the time,
right? Yeah,
they would just like flash the score when they signed on, signed off. They give you the score.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, you were saying that you think John Madden is also he's like the kind of working class vibe is.
Oh yeah, no, he definitely has. I mean, obviously he's got the thick accent. Well, he's kind of working class vibe. Yeah, and he definitely. So football was a. The vast majority of viewers before John Madden, it was like about degenerate gambling. It's very easy to...
yes.
If you read any memoirs from older football guys, it was all about like, they get this points, the point spread. It's like something that players would talk about.
Well, I think it's also, I mean, you look at it also like, I mean, just in terms of the variance from a kind of statistical perspective, like baseball, obviously people bet on baseball too. And, the White Sox and all this, the Black Sox and this kind of, gambling and baseball go way back. However, just from a kind of purely like... in terms of like from a stochastic perspective, baseball, you'll have a lot of games that end 1-0, 2-1. There's going to be, there's a heavy in the distribution, and you're rarely going to see more than 5 runs or so, right? And then, any given game state is extremely well defined. You have 3 bases and, a number of balls, a number of strikes, a number of outs. And that's basically, algorithmically, it's very simple. Compared to football, you have way more variation both in the scores and in like just there's a lot more points scored. There, yardage is a kind of quasi-random, stochastic thing. Like you're the closest analog I think from a gambling perspective would be probably ball speed. How fast is the pitcher pitching the ball, and it's like number of times it pitches over 90 miles an hour or something like that. You could maybe do some gambling with that, but compared to something like, you know, running yards or passing yards or, you know, touchdowns thrown by a quarterback, there's just so many opportunities for gambling. You can see, and it's just like all kinds of completely random shit for a degenerate gambler to gamble on.
Yeah. And there's a lot of scoring, right? Just, and the easiest one is just pure points, right? And so that was like the football fans were like gamblers first, and then John Madden made it to where it was people could understand the sport better, and also defined the sport's audience in a lot of ways as like a working class thing. He has his accent, which is kind of unplaceable, but like a ethnic white. Where is he from exactly? Because he has this kind of just vaguely ethnic white
Austin, Minnesota.
Yeah, that's not like a minute, but it's like a more.
But he is.
It sounds more Atlantic.
His father moved the Madden family to Daly City, California, when John was young. Yeah. And yeah, I guess that's where
he has this kind of bizarre, but like definitely ethnic white accent.
Yes.
And
I honestly think it's probably more. That's like, because if you watch old movies, like that's like it's like what Americans used to sound like in the 30s and 40s.
Like broadcast. It's kind of
Like almost like a
broadcaster.
Yeah.
Or TV actor, and it's hard to. But anyway, he's got like a thing, and
it's not. He sounds you know distinct.
Distinct for, and like not refined.
Right.
Yeah. And he basically gave, and because his personal tastes were like working class, he clearly like drank beer and brats and all that stuff, and he essentially made football big, and that, because he made football big, football made a lot like big money. Football became, you get these massive TV contracts, ratings out you know like crazy. And that brought money into the sport and like transformed it, and like also like kind of, you know, like almost like almost like purged it of like a lot of white players. They like, you know, the before and after a lot of money came in, it became a more of a like a, what you say, what would you call it, like Pokemon for billionaires?
Yeah, that's what I, and before that I was saying it's Pokemon, but it is, I mean, it's, yeah, you know, I got these cards, these players, and I'm gonna, yeah, I pay a certain amount of money for them, yeah, and my team of Pokemon cards is gonna beat up your team of Pokemon cards, yeah, and it's all kind of, you know, yeah, yes.
And then the money came in, and this, it kind of, I don't say, it kind of like made the sport less pure, and, you know, but also like, you know, the athletics didn't improve. And but John Madden let you keep the veneer of this is a white working class activity on the sport, to where like fans or like even like certain, what is it, you know, was it the Redskins, the Raiders, the Jets, all have this like,
the Eagles. Washington football, yeah, team.
The Eagles, they all have this like vibe of like being a working class, yeah, fan atmosphere, which the fan thing reigned true until the mid 2000s when the money really started coming in, and
yeah,
and football was essentially became like, now it's what's that $1,000 tickets and stuff for three people to go.
Well, for three, I mean, it depends on, yeah, I mean, you could easily, I mean, you could spend $1,000 on one ticket and not even like a, you know, box or anything. Yeah, I mean, the whole baseball too, although I think somewhat less so. I mean, both, all of these sport, I don't know, it's worth kind of taking a second to discuss. I mean, our guys, I think rightfully, you know, we're very cautious and wary of sports ball, and it's definitely surrogate activity, and maybe always has been. I mean, it's I think I'm a little less negative. I think you are too, than some people in our thing who are just kind of like, you know, completely checked out entirely. I like the competition. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, I didn't play high school football or anything, but I, you know, I you know, I had friends who did, and I definitely, always appreciated the cerebral aspects of it, the, you know, as you say, it's not quite chess with human players, but it kind of can be to some extent. You know, there's something I think to be said for, I mean, you know, kids, especially boys, should play team sports, and it's good and it's healthy, and you know, it's good to, you know, do all these things. That's not to say that the culture around it is healthy. That's not to say that the game of football itself is, you know, maybe, you know, obviously it can be extremely damaging. Actually, one of my high school friends got a fairly serious injury that required him to stop playing forever. They were like, you could, you know, basically be paralyzed if you mm-hmm. if this happens again, and so he had to quit. And that's not something typically that will happen with, you know, soccer or whatever, or baseball. much less frequently, right? That all of that being said, yeah, I mean, I don't know, I want to resist the temptation to be, you know, too negative, and I do think it's worth pointing out, as you say, there is a, you know, American culture used to have a space for this kind of an activity where, yeah, you could, you know, you could go with your kids, with your family, and like watch a baseball game and not drop like a mortgage payment.
Yeah. Baseball has actually been kind of insulated somewhat in many cities because there's just so many damn games that the ticket prices are going to end up being cheap because they can't fill the stands.
Yeah. I mean, football is, I mean, and I think that's part of the appeal too, especially as our culture is, I mean, I think American culture is, Nick Mason, what was it said? Like, you know, the Americans are extremely warlike, and or I forget, I'm butchering the quote, but people know what I'm talking about. And I think that's very true. And there's a lust for blood and battle deep in the American psyche that is, you know, football is basically a like contained battle, you know, with very kind of, you know, with okay, there's rules. And
I mean, it's kind of like catch the flag, abstracted or de-abstracted, like.
Yeah.
What do you want capture the flag to be? Well, I want violence.
Well, it's
in
like
it.
Capture the territory. Yeah. I mean, really, yeah. It's you know, you have a certain amount of territory that you're defending, and the other team has a certain amount of your territory that they're trying to capture, and mm-hmm. and then you know you switch sides every so often, but it's very, I think, very consciously. I think that's why people like it, and that's why I mean, you were talking about the brutality of it. I remember, old enough to remember, the when ESPN, do you ever see a Jacked Up? Are you familiar with this?
I've heard
program?
The phrase.
Jacked Up is it was every week after the, you know, Sunday games, ESPN would run a highlight show of just the most brutal concussion inducing broken bone hits. Like, it would be like, you know, dudes getting just fucking knocked out cold. And it'd be like, oh, yeah, that was, he got jacked up. Like, and that was like highlighted as like reason to watch.
I don't remember that, but I do remember, I think it was like, this is a bit far away. It was like 06 or 08, mid 2000s. The league, when they were renegotiating their like TV contracts, included a clause that illegal hits could not be like replayed. For entertainment as hits, and an advertise, so you couldn't advertise with like, or you know, you couldn't do like Monday Night Football tonight and have like a real big illegal hit. So if a hit was penalized in the game, it couldn't be.
Interesting. Yeah. No, it was Jacked, by the way, not Jacked Up, but yeah, it was a segment called Jacked that was just the most brutal. And then the commentators would be like, "Oh shit!" You know, he just got his shit pushed in, kind of like, yeah. So, And so you combine that with, yeah, like, you know, $500, $300, whatever, you know, for one person tickets and, you know, $20 beers. And it's just, I just don't know, leaving aside the kind of false consciousness, you know, political angle to it. It's like, who the hell is this even for? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm like, you know, not to say, I think there's a room for like, you know, when we win, yeah, like, you know, we can say, like, we can even have professional sports and you know, all of the Boston race people, you know, the Sons of Boston, if they want to go play in a game against the Sons of, you know, the Philadelphia race people for, you know, clout, as long, you know, and no trading players.
You do, you like know, the, before America, or, not, well, American attitudes, but like Saudi money ruined European soccer.
Yes,
you couldn't, like, the idea of trading a player was
right. No, pretty much the national teams and the club teams are like, you know, yeah. It's not even just like, okay, the Spanish national team is like Spanish players, but like the Barcelona football club is like people from Barcelona or from Catalonia, yeah. Or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that kind of a vibe, like that, I'd be 100% behind. Obviously, that's not the world we live in right now.
And I actually had an experience with this where I had a guy I played against in high school, but I had known him. You know, and he went to play for a local team, and I was like pumped, and I was like, wait, this is how like Europeans used to feel all
right,
the time,
exactly.
And
that's,
I was
like,
wait, why do we allow this not to happen? Like,
right?
Why can't I have every player be like, oh, I know
exactly.
That guy.
Well, and especially now, I mean, I know we're kind of more transitioning talking about football, but as opposed to. But, sorry, go on.
But like, also, like, I can see why you would have fought somebody from another city.
Oh, yeah, no, it's totally, no, it's like ethnic conflict on a smaller, that's why you get football hooligan shit, right? Like, absolutely.
Which also is, with, I mean, that's having the same problem where money in sports, like football hooliganism is being destroyed in Western Europe because of the same
ticket price. And those guys are all like fascists anyway, too. I mean, there's like so much.
Well, that's more of Eastern Europe, but like Western Europe, it's the ticket price has purged.
Oh, that it purged the hooligans from the
They're still hooligans. There, it's purged them from the stadium in a lot of ways, which is funny because you get these what is this? This like genre of YouTube video where like the English national team went to Bulgaria, and because they're not they're not the hooligans anymore, because it's like if you have money to travel to Bulgaria for an English national,
you're not a hooligan,
and because you're like a so like the ticket price has excluded you, and then you go there and fucking they love in like Eastern Europe, they have like obviously the taboos are very different, and they find like obviously you got the Nazi stuff and you got the salutes and the and like saying the N-word and stuff. Which is funny because like they don't speak English, but they say the N-word. They can, I speak N-word, right?
Well, they know it gets under the English fan's skin.
Oh, exactly. Yes. And then I think it's like they'll have like a like they KKK stuff is no taboo over there. So you'll see like these guys in white hoods or T-shirts with KKK guys on them.
I haven't seen that, but that's funny.
Well, they if you imagine telling an Eastern European like, oh yeah, well there were these Americans and they would dress like ghosts and like fight black people. And like, oh, that sounds fucking cool, bro.
Sounds the best. I thought it was a good time.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but you get this genre of YouTube video where it's British fans crying about Eastern European fans like putting up Nazi stickers and getting their faces and like, oh, and it's wonderful. It's funny because like, not 10 years ago, they just had a fight. No, it would be a big deal because the British fans would.
Right. They would have given as well as they got.
And they would have said the same shit back. Like,
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's just, I don't know. It's just pathetic and sad what sports have become.
Well,
and
it's kind of like this is an interesting way to put it, but like it's kind of what's the phrase? Like an excess prosperity thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like people think, look, for instance, like the tulips, famously in the Netherlands, there was famously a very prosperous era for the Netherlands. So they did this tulip speculating thing, and there was a big crash. But they weren't like ruined. One of the myths that they were ruined with this. No, it was just like they all had disposable income to blow, and they all chose to blow out on this. And it was stupid, but, like, no one was ruined by this. Football and, like, NFTs, I guess, too, in the same way, if there's, like, excess prosperity in a community, I really think it really is, like, siphoning excess prosperity from a city.
Yeah.
Because these games all sell out. Football games generally sell out.
Yes.
Barring some kind of weird thing, a football game, because there's so few, which is one of the things it does most sports don't do, is that there are not a lot of football
games. Well, that was what I was saying before. It's like basically each game much more. I mean, sports is always, you know, agonistic in the kind of classical sense of you know, I mean, it's a contest, it's a struggle, it's a battle. But usually the kind of the martial aspects are not quite so front and center. With football, it's barely it's basically gladiatorial combat, just without, you know, weapons, and kind of we have this thin veneer of an excuse with like, oh, we're actually, you know, fighting over a ball kind of thing. But it's extremely explicitly martial, and I think that's deliberate in terms of the season and how few, basically each game is a battle between these two teams, and just the same way that when you're fighting a war, irrespective of which side you're on, typically, especially in like the kind of like, you know, hand-to-hand type combat days, which this is more closely modeled on, you're not going to fight that many pitched battles, right? It's like it doesn't benefit either side actually to do that too many times, and I think there's a similar dynamic at play with football.
Yeah. So also we talk about how football's come in between like Pokemon and a chess match between coaches trying to outfox each other constantly. Well, there's like a middle view of football like that. We talked about the pre-show that I think you like, where it's actually like colonial warfare between.
Yes.
So you have these like white officers and these like native troops, and a couple native officers are in the field, like junior officers. You got your quarterbacks and your maybe a couple like a tight end or something who are a little more
white.
Switched on.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this conflict, and it's clearly managed by like these smarter players.
Yeah, notoriously. I mean,
there's a phrase that analysts use called high football IQ.
Yeah, which is just high IQ, right?
Yeah, like, well, it's interesting because they'll use it for like it's funny because all white players are assumed to have a high football IQ. Yeah. And when a black player is unusually smart, he will be told he has a high football IQ
right.
by the announcers. But all white players are just assumed
to have right.
by default to have a high football IQ. Well,
and
IQ.
They test, they use the Wonderlic when they're evaluating prospects for the draft. Like, it's just a straight up IQ test in the like well, classical which, model.
I want to finish this point. I'll come
oh,
back
sorry,
to that.
Go on. I didn't realize but, you were, yeah.
So this experience of like the officer leading this
the troop native troops in battle, yes.
Is what Madden's playing. You're playing in, yes. in Madden. Madden is playing this kind of ground level, but not, there's a little bit more, you're playing the cerebral elements, and the physical elements are a little more abstracted. They're not, I mean, your players are faster who are faster in real life, but you are playing a general kind of effectively. And that's what, I think Madden really does give that vibe well in terms of capturing that vibe. But speaking of, it's kind of a, you brought the Wonderlic test that this is, you've heard of the IQ norming issue?
Yes, yes, yes. This came up on Tedious a while back. Maybe people don't remember or weren't listening, but yeah. So basically it turns out getting your head hit really hard many times, especially if you get a concussion, but not exclusively. I mean, you could just be getting your head hit hard, you know, really hard over and over again. It's
well, one of the
not...
CTE things is that multiple small blows to the head yes. is just as bad as
exactly.
large big knocks.
Chronic traumatic.
Yeah, Will Smith showed us that in the movie.
Encephalopathy.
Right?
Yeah. yeah. And so yeah, right. The Will Smith. I forgot. Oh my God. yeah. Anyway, that's the whole. So basically, you know, it's just really bad for your brain. Game of football. And the thing is, in order to establish, like, okay, well, you know, how badly was this person affected? One of the simplest and most, you know, efficient ways to do that, to make that measurement is, okay, well, this person scored, you know, whatever, 115 on an IQ test that they took before they started playing football. They score 100 on an IQ test that they took after playing football. We can, you know, okay, maybe there's some natural or whatever, but we can be reasonably certain that there's been a quantifiable drop of this amount over this period of time. Now they don't always have super reliable information, and when they were as part of this settlement, they were trying to establish baselines, the settlement between the players and the league, essentially, over, like, you know, people who've had their brains scrambled by,
well, effectively it's a disability payment, right? Like,
yes, yeah, exactly. It's like, my brain got destroyed by this game, and you're going to pay me based on my disability. So people could probably see where this is going, but essentially the problem is, okay, how do you establish if you're disabled or not? Well, we can say, you know, okay, well, if you're cognitively performing at this level, you know, below this threshold, then you are, you know, quote, disabled for the purposes of this disability payment. The problem is that tons and tons and tons of black players were below that threshold. Not only that, there was no evidence that they were ever above it. Not only that, there was a lot of evidence that they had never been above it.
And there was also, like, that white players who were still above it
were still right.
had shown impairment.
Exactly.
So
they had to basically, which is totally scientifically valid and actually makes a lot of sense and is in line with, you know, we've known for 100 years now that, you know, blacks and whites on average have different median IQs.
Oh, so, that was invented by Steve Saylor.
Right. They basically said, okay, well, the threshold for black players and white players is different, which, again, makes total sense. Like, like a white person with an IQ of 70 is probably going to have difficulty, like, brushing their teeth and is not going to be a functional member of society. You absolutely have blacks with a 70 IQ who are, like, I don't know, functional, maybe kind of pushing, but they're not going to be anywhere near that level of disability. So it's just whatever's going on, it's, like, biologically different. Blacks and whites obviously shouldn't need, you know, but they're biologically different. And when you norm their intelligence, you have to norm it per each race because the standards are different for each race. You can't compare, you know, you have to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, right? Which is what the league wanted to do, except with this, obviously the threshold norm, the race norm threshold was different for the black players and the white players. And this is a racist, taboo, crime thing, bad, can't have. And so they had to basically make the white threshold the threshold for everyone, which resulted in a whole lot more black players getting paid, which, honestly, good for them. I don't actually give a fuck. It's
it's
fine.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of funny that this was this whole big issue. Yeah. Yeah. Football's brutal. That's why I like it. I don't know what else to say. Like, it's like going to the Coliseum to watch gladiator fights. Like, yes, that's entertaining. Yeah. Of course it is.
And also, they do scarcity well. There's yes. not a lot of football. Unlike every other sport, you can kind of overdose on it. You really don't have ever get enough football if you're a football fan. You know, it's, oh, we got to wait another... there's no game every night. So
not only is there no game every night, I mean, the championship is one game and it's, you know...
Yeah, and one and done. Yeah.
One and done. There's no... You know, it's very...
Which I think has its roots in the kind of gambling era. Well, A, there is the brutality of the sport. Like, you don't want to play more than one game, for sure. But also, just in terms of, like, the gambling is wilder if it's one-game playoffs yeah. versus, like... Because in a seven-game series,
yeah,
certain things will average out into yes. victory-defeat, right? Talent will kind of overcome, whereas one game, anybody can win. Like, it's one of the things that, like, the NFL's had at the point of pride is that on any
given Sunday.
Any given Sunday, right? Any team can beat any other team.
Yeah.
And that's...
By design.
Barring a couple yeah. outliers. There's only one undefeated team in history. There's only like two defeated, fully defeated teams in history, I think, or...
Not... Yeah, maybe not even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a... yeah, it's exactly. It's you never know. There's the high variance, again, to look at it from a kind of statistical perspective, yeah. and that's part of what keeps people entertained.
Also, it keeps people like playing Madden, because when you play Madden, you can play as your team versus the other guy playing his team.
Yeah,
and they right. and they will have like realistic stat lines for the players, and you can have a better team in Madden. But if you're a better Madden player, you'll probably beat the better team 9 times out of 10.
Irrespective of your the statistics on your
yeah.
on your guys. Maybe that we should that's a good point to transition back to the game and the simulation aspects. Of it.
Have you ever watched the Madden TV show?
I didn't. Wait, what's the Madden? No, I don't know what this is.
So it was for like a... It was probably at the height. Football is kind of off its zenith. In yes. their mid, early 2010s, football was retarded big. Like, yeah. I believe it was like an NFL preseason game. No, the NFL draft, which only like the hardest of core fans watch, was put up on, I think it was like a Monday night or a Saturday night. Against MLB baseball playoff game, and smashed it in the ratings. Football is just so much bigger.
Oh man!
And I think that still is true because baseball has always been turning down slightly ever since it kind of got big,
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas football is just massive and at the zenith. Madden also is kind of the zenith of Madden, and Madden's unique in that it's an iterative game, but the iterations are very minor, which is all football being all sports games. We can go into that, but. Because of that, like someone who's good at Madden will kind of always be pretty good at Madden.
Well, the thing about that is like, I mean, again, it's sort of once you've answered the question of, okay, what are we going to do? Also, I guess once you have the technological capability to say, okay, we're going to simulate the game from this angle, and it's not going to be a management simulation per se in terms of
a quarterback simulator,
basically. And it's a quarterback simulator where you also get to.
Do the fun stuff.
Do the fun, the playing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the vast play majority calling. Of it's the...
Yes, the vast majority is a quarterback simulator. And so it's like there isn't really that much in a certain sense to... It's like the rules are never going to change that much. I mean, okay, maybe you have, year to year, this or that. But basically the rules are set. And so the parameters of what you're going to be doing are set. And so then the question is like, okay, well, why would you play, let's say, Madden 2021 versus like Madden 2011? Because you want the license for the players. You want to feel yeah. like...
Well, also, I think there's a difference between... We brought up Red Orchestra, but like they're not big gamers, but they play Madden. And gamers as like a thing maybe want more iterative experiences, but Madden players... Don't.
Right.
I'm good at Madden. I want to be good at Madden right. next year too.
Yeah,
because it is also like a social game. It's a very social game. I don't think people don't like abuse Madden like any other video gets abused, but Madden is primarily a social.
Oh experience. Yeah, I think second probably only to something like Smash Brothers. Or
it's a very similar space.
Well, because it's I think a hard like Call of Duty. Split screen first person shooters suck. They've sucked. I mean, when it was GoldenEye, GoldenEye and early Halo, it's like there's no alternative, so you kind of just deal with it. But split screen first person shooters is kind of awful, and it's just there's obviously you're going to want to play it on your own screen, which typically is going to mean at your own house, which typically means you're not at most you're going to get something like voice chat. Madden and Smash Brothers very much benefit from, like, you know, your dudes on a couch, yeah. right? Like, that's kind of the vibe. And so, yeah, definitely there's, and I'm sure that's still quite popular in colleges and stuff, in that particular kind of a way. Yeah, so I don't mean, but the question, I guess, to me, it's like, at this point, I mean, I could see something like a management simulator. I can't really see, like, you know, what are you going to do other than, like, actually playing football? Which I guess Madden is also quite popular with football, like, professional football players. I don't never quite understood that. I guess it's the same reason professional, you know, pilots will play Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Why soldiers play Call of Duty, right?
Yeah. But it's, like, the fun parts abstracted, yeah, I guess. Yeah. But like, if you're not, I mean, it's like, okay, you know, call the play, call the timeout, press the button to throw, you know, like, how else would you do it? You know, because the quarterback is naturally going to be the point of focus, unless you have, like, a dedicated running back simulator game or something like that, or, like, cornerback simulator game. Like, what would that even be?
Is that mode?
I know, you can switch to those players.
No, there's a not later, in the last 10 years, Madden has had a player career mode.
Right. Yeah.
Where you can, if you're not playing, but if you don't play a quarterback, it sucks. Because every player this player is on the field for, you're playing as
the left tackle or
so
whatever.
You're usually playing as a running back or wide receiver or a quarterback, right? So you're, like, running a route and not getting thrown the ball. It's like, oh, this is, you know? It's miserable to a degree, and no one really likes it. But basically, back to the Madden. You never ever watched the Madden, like, NFL football show?
I don't know. I know, like, Breaking Madden. Are you familiar with that? That's like an internet column. I forget.
Yeah,
they, like, just do the most absurd. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's just,
set
everybody's strength to, like, 100 and slaughter each other and
have only kickers play each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Great stuff. But the Madden show was effectively elimination reality show where, kind of like, I guess, loosely based on Survivor, but they'd have, like, two teams or something, and they both nominate somebody to go play, and they do, like, some kind of challenge, and then they play, like, an elimination game. And it was,
so this is, like, in the, I don't know, so this is, like, people playing the Madden video game?
Yes. Okay. They were the best Madden. The pitch was, these are the best Madden players. It was effectively like the pro league, like the esports of it. And these all, like, players, and they were all, I mean, there were a few outliers, but, like, it's like all these white guys in their 20s and 30s, you know, like, very much like the guys you expect to be the Madden best players in the world. But, and they would all have, like, a personality. They'd wear, like, a uniform for, like, their favorite team. And it was fun. Like, they'd have, like, we're going to focus on this guy. And they would always have, the funny thing is, they'd always have, like, oh, who's your favorite player? It'd be, oh, I like Drew Brees. And they'd have him go to Drew Brees' house and play Madden with Drew Brees and, like, kick his ass as Drew Brees, you know, kick Drew Brees' ass as Drew Brees.
As Drew Brees, that's funny.
Yeah. And it was probably the sell signal, I guess you want to call it. Like, Madden was huge. And I think Madden is, like, sports games are in a weird spot now where they really refuse to innovate. I think the EA also owns almost all of them, I think, except for basketball.
Yeah, well, yes, basically.
And they've introduced the Ultimate Team, which, if you're a Madden fan or a FIFA fan, you'll know about. If you're not, you'll hate this. This is boring to death, but there's, like, you can pay money or get XP to grind packs of players. Like, Pokemon style.
Yes, the Ultimate Team, Madden Ultimate Team, and which also, they, I think, in Europe, FIFA Ultimate Team pretty much the exact same thing.
Yeah, where you get packs of players.
It's really, I mean, that literally brings, like, I said Pokemon for billionaires earlier, but that really kind of drives home that particular angle of it. It's also kind of gross and unethical, I think, because I only ever played Ultimate Team for one Madden game, one, like, release. I think it was 2015 or 2016. I never paid any money. I think I'm, like, at least 80% of people or so never pay any money. But then, like, 99% of the revenue is provided by the 1% of the customers that, more than 1% pay at least a little money, but most of the revenue comes from very few people. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, kids who don't understand that dad's credit card isn't like a magic machine that do it. And yeah, it encourages, I don't remember, as I recall, at least then you could like, at least with the Madden, my memory is very hazy, but I remember like you were able, maybe it was on the auction or something, that you could pay for a specific player. Apparently, at least on the FIFA side, that's not the case, and you have to like pay for essentially a random loot box.
Yeah.
Packs of like cards with like dubious kind of breakdown value in terms of, yeah, I don't know. That whole thing is very like, I don't know. The one amount that I played it, it was fun. I mean, it can be fun. It's like, you know, and you kind of build together a team of, it's somewhere between fantasy football and it's got a kind of fantasy football vibe to it, right? Because you're like kind of doing the best with the players that you can.
Also, like players you get, I don't know, I've dabbled a little with the FIFA thing just to see what it was. Like, I was just very curious. So FIFA is like baseball, soccer, whatever. That sport never ends. There's always soccer games going on somewhere, right? Yes. Whereas football is very different. So with soccer, if a player was having like a good week or a good month, you'd have an on-form version of them. So you get like the card of this player, and this card like that is only out when they're like in the real world, like
doing well.
You could get in a pack like this player called on-form, like where he's hot, like the hot streak version of this player.
Crazy.
Where he's even better.
What happens to your, if you have that card, what happens when he's no longer on form?
I think you keep him.
So you get to like,
think like that card's only in packs when he's doing well.
But then if you get it, then you just get to keep him?
Yeah, I think you keep like, it's like the gold version of the card. Like it's like the
gold Tavoil,
the Charizard, the on form Charizard. You
know. Yeah, crazy. Yeah, that whole, I mean, the microtransactions thing, that's, but apparently, I mean, there's enormously, that's basically like most of EA's profits come from selling those packs between FIFA and Madden.
And like also, there's no doubt that like that stuff is good for video games, and that it's like they're like the blockbusters that prop up every other EA project.
You mean like acquiring studios and then driving them into the ground?
Yeah.
I'm still mad about Westwood. Yeah, no, I mean, I hear what you're saying. Of course, I'm being snarky.
It's the Transformers, but also like the tech, no doubt, like the face capture tech of sports games.
Yes,
is driving like face capture and even like like racing and sports games are like kind of the drive, because it's such a vertical slice. It's such a small map and a small variation on things that could happen that has to.
I remember when the last time I really played Madden was talking about. I was impressed. I'm sure it's improved even now with just the AI generated chatter from the commentators, using specific phrases and terms and talking about the game in a fairly intelligent way as it was unfolding, pretty much like you would see live. I'm sure that too is driven by the...
Well, Madden's also had this interesting goal that they were pretty open about pretty early on, which was the goal of Madden was to appear, if you weren't paying attention and you walked into the room, that it was a football game.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty interesting, like, very interesting and very cool goal, and they really do like...
They do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a reason why it's among the most successful video game franchises of all time. It's well done, you know, if nothing else. And they put a lot of emphasis on fidelity to, you know, the broadcast, sport. So, I'm thinking, were there any other angles we wanted to cover
I wanted to cover a little bit about John Madden and how much he preserved football as a working class thing, in that there's a really famous clip of him, and he had sent, like, I don't know if he went there physically, he probably did, with like a camera crew. It was like in the 80s, and he's getting with his camera crew, and he's just pointing out like, oh, look at these brats, people are coming out here, it's freezing cold out here, and they're grilling, and look at this corn and these steaks and all this stuff.
Corn,
yeah. And it's these like, and it's like, not, because if you don't make food for TV, it looks like terrible,
right?
And it's like an 80s camera, I'm sure he's like, hey, get a shot of that, just shove it in the camera.
The lighting is like,
and these brats, and it all looks terrible, but you can tell like it smells good,
right?
And then so there, he's like, and then they had filmed this earlier, and he's doing the talk over how much he loves, I think it was Chicago, how, oh, I love the fans and all this stuff. And then there's this cut in the B-roll to where all the really nice cars are parked outside the stadium. Same, and it's the same thing where the cameras are tracking over all those like Rolls Royces and Cadillacs, and you hear him go, "Ugh, hate this, change that." Like, and he just had this vicious hatred of, like, the money side of sports.
Yeah, I mean, and in the 80s, too, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... well, that's, you know, it's definitely a grug sport to some extent. I mean, there's role... Yeah, you have to have a high IQ.
And Madden was, like, a teacher, but he wasn't
right
at all pretentious.
Yeah.
And he also was, like, weird and did, like, working class thing. Like, he refused to fly in airplanes.
I did not know that.
Oh, you know his name was the Road Warrior.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Because
He had a really nice RV.
And that he would just take that to games.
Which, as a broadcaster, if you're doing a game in LA and the next week in
it takes the whole week
New Jersey,
just to get
you are
there.
Just like in the thing. And he was refused. He was terrified. They thought they'd all crash.
Man, yeah, like a relic from another era. I mean, that's like, I guess ultimately maybe one of the. It's weird. It's like as the game, as sports and American culture generally, American sports, American culture become more. I don't know. I mea culpa or whatever. Fine, you can make fun of me in the comments. I do still occasionally watch football games. Not I don't like sit down and do it, but if I'm just around the house on a Sunday, I may put it on the TV just to, whatever. And I overheard, because I guess now it's like Hispanic Culture Month, and one of the announcers was like, "And we, celebrate Hispanic heritage and all those of Latinx, blah blah blah." I'm like, you just said it wrong, you fucking retard. And also, like, what the fuck is he? I mean, it's fun. It was bad enough. There was that commercial a while back. It was like the NFL or football is gay, which, like, again,
I'm boycotting at this point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is totally. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I fully support boycotts. And it's, again, it's not like I'm, sitting down to. But I guess part of it is I'm a glutton for punishment. And I just want to, like, see how bad. And it's just so bad. But to hear, like, these, like, I mean, they're trying to. They're trying to, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if we were talking about it now or in the previous episode or what, but like John Gruden, the coach of the Raiders. In fact, Madden's
also Raiders notoriously like vicious, like brutal John Madden led defenses, fans that were like soccer hooligans of old or of then, where they would like just beat people up in the parking lot. They very much had like a soccer hooligan culture.
So you have this organization,
which is funny though. Yeah. They still kind of try to do that, but like they're all like very wealth. Like the ticket price kind of,
yeah, of course,
yeah,
selects for a different kind of vibe. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, no. So I was just reflecting. I mean, it's a conservatard talking point at this point, but it checks out. Like you have vicious wife beaters, literal murderers, all kinds of it's the Negro Felon League at this point. Has been for a while. Dude writes, like, he calls the commissioner a fag like 10 years ago in a private email, and he gets shit canned immediately. I it's hard for me to like even sort of, I mean, it's just, where is the pretension of or what was the other thing that I was
he said a black player, the head of the players union was like, rubber lipped,
which doesn't even, like, is that even a racist thing? Like
it is when I say it.
Well, right, but I don't believe it of him. I'm just saying, like, I'm not even convinced 100%. Like calling Roger Goodell a fag, fine, or like, and they were trying. I saw the New York Times article about this. They were like, oh, and he used the word pussy. It's like, yeah, you pussy. I mean, like,
Roger Goodell's a fucking pussy.
I mean, like, with misogynistic language. Just call him a pussy, man. Like, don't. Yeah. But I don't necessarily think he's racist. I don't necessarily think any of them are racist. I mean, I think it's hard to be like a genuine
racist.
Also,
like, you could still say faggot in 2014.
Well, that's the thing. And I mean, you couldn't say the N-word. But, like, again, I don't think any football coach is, like, even a little bit racist.
Yeah,
in 2011, 2014, whatever.
I mean, Belichick, like, but... Hey.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, the record speaks for itself.
But but I saw, like, what was it? Urban Meyer, who used to coach some... Was it Ohio State or...
Florida State.
Yeah, right.
State.
And he's now coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars. They haven't won a game, basically, since he's been coaching. And now he's under the I guess the new controversy is there was some kind of celebration. He was at some kind of bar/possibly strip club or strip club-ish type place, and there was some young lady who was like basically doing a stripper-ish kind of dance, like on his lap. Not quite a lap dance, I guess, but I haven't really seen I don't give a shit about any of this. What I care about is keeping tabs on like so like the cultural phenomenon and looking at it through the lens of like, not that hypocrisy will win for us, but that it's amazingly hypocritical to me that you have this organization that's like trying to adhere to these standards that basically like they're pretending it in one hand, in one sense it's like, yeah, we're still kind of like appealing to working class vibes from like the 1980s, very much John Madden style of, you know, like
well, before he left, I think he was like kind of the wall for this, where like you couldn't do like celebrations,
right? Yeah, we wanted,
it was a workman like,
and we wanted to be classy, a certain kind of classy, right? Classy for certain kinds of values of classy,
yeah.
And
it was like very much a working class classy, like I do my job
exactly.
It's not,
and you're not photographed, and you're not videotaped with like strippers at a bar or whatever. Which I get. I'm not saying that that's okay.
And football's always had a better code of conduct than like baseball and basketball, because the sport is so brutal that you physically need the recovery time.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm sure the guys do party, but like in the season, you get like a couple days off a week. You better be like in bed in an ice bath, because
right.
You're just going to get, you can't be out drinking.
No. There's no time for that. Right. But just the pretense that like this is what we're going to be upset about, you know, that we got these old, you know, we got these white guys who are, you know, just kind of doing their thing, and now we're going to declare that they're the public enemy, and this is going to be the problem, and while all this other stuff is going on, it's just ridiculous. It's I don't know where I'm
he would have been better if he shot somebody.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like that. I mean, they wouldn't have just like fired him immediately.
You know?
Like they would have kept his job. Who has just faced the quarterback for the Houston Texans is like literally he's being sued by like 20 or 30 women for sexual assault. He's still on the team. They won't like play. They won't put him on the field, but they're still paying him. He's still on the team.
Yeah.
And it's just like you know, so. And what do you do with that? You know, I'm sure his Madden card is still there. I'm sure you can still play.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you can still play. It's not,
you can't play John Gruden anymore.
Can't play John Gruden, but you can play whatever the fuck, Deshaun something, or I don't even remember. I don't know these fucking guys' names. It just blows my mind. Like, and that's the funny thing, I think, to me, and I guess what keeps me kind of like keeping tabs on it as a cultural phenomenon is, you can see the schizophrenia of American culture. You can see like, there's these weird vestiges of like post-war, but pre-end of history, you know, quote unquote end of history, like American morality. Like there's still this very much embodied by John Madden, that whole ethos of, you know, we do things a certain way and we expect certain standards and this is what we appeal to. But then trying to like parlay that into a bunch of woke shit about how football is for gays and trannies and et cetera.
Oh, I watched a couple like bits and pieces of games recently, and it was like in every end zone, there's like no racism or stop racism.
They started that, I think, last year. Yeah, and like on the backs of helmets, it's like you're allowed to put like the name. They had like Breonna Taylor's name,
yeah,
and it's all of the, and Jacob Blake, who like literally the cop who shot Jacob Blake was completely exonerated because like of course he was. I mean, yeah. Imagine that like it was in question, but. But I'm sure there's still players with, yeah, Jacob Blake on the back. I saw. I think it was this season. It must have been. I guess I don't know. I caught a glimpse of, there was, I think, a photograph of Tom Brady's helmet on the back of Tom Brady's helmet. There was no name or anything like,
yeah,
that.
Actually, bad, right?
No, it was just the rate.
That's, yeah, would be there if he could.
It's, yeah, just so. But I mean, I guess in order to get away with that, you have to be Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no, it's I don't know. It's just absolutely schizophrenic and hilarious to watch. I mean, I guess the continuity, the thread running through it is a certain kind of moral puritanism. Like, you know, you could sort of see like as that puritanism moves from,
well, after all these Calvinists bought all these teams, right? These Calvinists, they were just
these Massachusetts Unitarians.
Yeah, Ever since they bought NBC, it's been downhill.
Yeah, and MGM Pictures and all this. Oh my goodness. Yeah, yeah. It's really, how many? I think it's like, what, at least must be at least half Jew are the owners, something like that.
Or the I think it's less. It's not as many as you would think. Basketball is really bad.
Basketball, and well, Jews love basketball. Yeah, yeah.
But for I think a lot of the big market teams are, but football had didn't get big money until the 80s, and they got money fast enough that they couldn't like get ahead of it. So a lot of these like car dealership guys still have the team, and they're not selling it for anything, you know?
Cause, sure. Because now it's, they're up 10 million% or whatever. Yeah. I think the Washington guy is a Jew, though, right? Dan Snyder?
Snyder is. Kraft is for the Patriots, which is, oof, you know. Yeah. A little on the nose there, guy.
I mean, where's the lie, though, right?
Yeah. They also are, like, black. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons are owned by a black guy, I believe.
I did not know that.
He's, like, half black.
I did not know that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the whole ownership thing is – I mean, that's the – I guess that's the other kind of – angle to it or one other, you know, it's interesting that I know because what is it, Pro Evolution Soccer or football, there's some series I've never played.
Oh, the Sega one?
No, on computer, on Steam. There's like a, like basically it's like a football club, like a European football club management simulator where like the games themselves are pretty much awesome. Yeah. Like you were talking earlier about like you can imagine like
it's like a GM simulator.
Exactly. Yeah.
General manager.
Exactly. Like Sid Meier's whatever kind of level, and the games themselves are completely algorithmically abstracted, you know, they're simulated in the strong sense, like auto resolve combat and in Total War or whatever. And it just purely focuses on that kind of management side of it. Interestingly, there's nothing like that in American football. I mean, it's I guess you could see it lending to itself to that, and I think
You can play Madden that way if you want to play Madden that way. There are like the franchise mode.
I haven't played in a while.
But like all these things are
now abstract. They're part of the
thing. If you want to sim every game, you can play the franchise mode.
Oh no, that I knew. The options aren't really robust, I think, in terms of, you know, like the football club management simulator or whatever it is. You know, you get really deep in the nitty gritty of like how much you charge for concessions and
that's in Madden now. Okay. It's kind of where like they have these massive budgets and they literally aren't allowed to iterate as much, so they
focus
on
brand new
shit. They
kind of
fill out this kind of
fascinating
or like arcade mode sometimes. The arcade modes are actually really fun. A lot of
NFL Blitz remains one. I mentioned it earlier. We could maybe round out the show, but it's like the anti Madden.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's like just it's all, you know, giant 40-yard Hail Marys and illegal late
hits.
Yeah,
big hit.
You would basically get rewarded by the game.
NFL Street as well was like in that same era. There was like an anti, and Madden like wouldn't have his name on these things.
I'm surprised they got the NFL license, but I guess that was in a time where it was like whatever. Like this is the era of ESPN jacked, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a different.
And they that definitely couldn't happen anymore.
No, never. And I think all the parties are kind of. I mean, that's the kind of we're talking about the money side of it too. That's sort of in a sense, it's like it's at a stasis level where, you know, they provide a kind of goy feed and the goys are happy enough with it and it makes a lot of money and it's like, well, what reason is there to change it? We don't want to upset this apple cart, right? So it's like, you know, we'll just, you know, we have the license is provided to the one big giant gaming conglomerate company. The big gaming conglomerate company makes the same game, just slight little changes, slightly better, you know, little better graphics, maybe one little new feature, new names on the rosters, you know, compatibility with the new servers. You know, to play the game that you know, if you want to play the game within a game about the ultimate team, you can go ahead and do that. And you know, for now, it's just kind of in a kind of stasis, I guess. But I mean, it's funny to think about. Yeah, I mean, you can put yourself back in the mindset of the 1980s and the 1990s, even where you just don't have the processing power of the game to do that. And so, what do you focus on? What choices do you make, and how do you get from there to here? As I said, like the history of Madden really is in a lot of ways a history. I mean, of the video gaming industry, of the movement from abstraction and just, you know, very, you know, almost placeholder graphics to now where it's at the level
photo real
just about here, yeah. Just about. If you watch I've seen some. You know, if you put the video on like 240p or 360p, you it's indistinguishable from a broadcast.
Yeah.
Indistinguishable. So, I mean, that's impressive, if nothing else.
Oh, for sure. And the great thing about Madden is that, so John Madden came in too early on everything, kind of, and he never really got that retarded big money. Like, he was a coach in, like, the 50s and 60s. And
yeah.
Announced in the 70s and 80s. And he never was, like, in that crazy money era. He was always, like, right behind that massive amounts of money coming into whatever he was doing. And then he finally, like...
I hope he's still getting paid.
He has to be.
I mean, his name on it, right?
I'm sure.
The real question is, what's going to happen when he dies? I mean, who's going to be like, who's John Madden, right?
Well, I mean, it already is that way, right?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Like, I mean, a lot of people must be like, what is a Madden?
Yeah. Well, it's a football video game. It's
point,
yeah.
Right.
It's like, what's a Mass Effect? I don't fucking know. I'm playing it. What's a Call of Duty?
What's duty?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Exactly. Like, what is...
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess if it's just now synonymous with, like, oh, it's just, that's what we call the football game.
It's like calling it FIFA.
Yeah. Like, well, they're changing that. I don't know if you said, it's like, really? Breaking news. Yeah, it was apparently, because very similar kind of licensing situation where the licenses for the teams and the players is different from the license for FIFA. So EA is renaming it, like, I think EA Soccer or something, or EA Football.
Yeah.
And dropping the FIFA, because FIFA wanted, like, they wanted basically to double their license from, I think, $500 million to $1 billion.
Yeah.
And which EA is funny. Was like, fuck off.
Yeah. What was funny is FIFA, the company is... So the NFL is shitty and paused and weird. FIFA, because soccer is such an international sport,
they're just,
it's
gangsters.
Just a third,
yeah,
world,
just
like,
criminals.
It's,
yeah.
It's wonderful. It's so much, it's refreshing compared to all, like, the, yeah, Club of Homo stuff, where it's just these, like...
Old-fashioned corruption.
This cartel,
yeah,
of, yeah, just the... Oh. And it's great because they don't even know, like, I've always found American, like, the John Oliver, like, American Lib sets fascinating with all the corruption in FIFA. It's like, oh, there's like breathless reporting on, like, taking bribes, where, like, no one gives a shit.
No one, who can't imagine caring.
It's like, sure, he's the Italian delegate. He gets bribed. It's part of the thing. You're telling me we bribed the Italian?
Oh, wait, you mean to tell me that the head of the Colombian national team football, yeah, organization is like, not 100% on the up and up? Like, yeah, no.
It's like, sir, that's a line item in the budget. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean you gave him a Ferrari? Yeah, well, it's in the budget. Like,
yeah, right.
What do you want me to do? I can't.
It's part of his contract. It's right there. See? Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean... It's just, well, the other thing about that too is I mean, FIFA, like, who gives, but the flip side of that, I guess, is like, who gives a shit? Like, apart from naming it FIFA, like, does anybody actually care about, like, FIFA, the organization? I mean, you say, yeah, the NFL, you know,
sure,
maybe it's different if you're living in Europe. I don't know. The Euro bros can weigh in.
I don't know.
Here,
I mean, FIFA's,
but,
I would care more if I was about, like, the Premier League or.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, Premier League, you could sort of see
cachet,
like,
in
exactly,
the name, yeah.
But FIFA is like, who cares?
Yeah, it's like the World Cup thing, but, like, call it the World Cup. You know,
right.
Yeah, the World,
yeah,
Cup, the World Cup has more prestige than FIFA.
Yes.
Like, the,
yes,
word FIFA.
Definitely.
Also, FIFA has like the downside of being a French word, not an English word, so.
Yeah.
People kind of are disconnected.
But yeah, so that was, and so
the
I'm
acronym,
sure
the acronym doesn't really work for most people anyway.
No, people be like, what does that stand for? Like, well, what federation? The
Federation,
what?
Internationale Football Association?
Something like that.
Yeah,
so I'm sure all of that goes into EA's calculation as to what to rename it. EA Soccer. I guess at a certain point, maybe they'll rename it. Well, if
actually, quote, they're unquote, localize it, probably.
Wouldn't that be funny if it's like, quote unquote, EA Soccer? I guess you could call EA Soccer in. Okay, but then what do you call Madden in Europe? If they, or do they just, like, not play it enough for it to matter?
I think you call it Madden.
But if it's okay, so
you call it EA Madden and then EA Football. 100%. That's not even a joke. I guess, like, it's like what I imagine they'll do.
Yeah, I guess you keep paying.
Or you call it,
the,
like,
Madden.
Or you call it, like, Premier League or Liga. Like, if you're doing,
yeah,
it in, if you're doing it in England, it's Premier League. If you're doing it in Italy, it's
Liga.
Liga. If you're doing it in whatever, it's,
yeah, it's the local thing,
Special One, or, you know, whatever the, or I'm thinking, or you just Premier League it.
Premier, just call it Premier League.
Or
sure
you,
League,
what's the other thing?
That.
What's about Premier League? It's the
Champions League.
You call it EA Champions League or something like that.
Yeah, all of the above are possibilities.
Yeah, and everybody knows what it is. It's not like you're.
Yeah.
There's another game to confuse it with. No one's.
Right.
The Sega equivalent. What's the Sega game? Is it Pro Evolution Soccer?
They changed the name of that too. I don't know. Yeah. I don't. The soccer stuff I'm even less familiar with.
Yeah. That's a interesting. Well, maybe it's the Pro Evolution Soccer versus FIFA thing is like an ongoing Coke,
right,
Pepsi thing. Where,
yeah. Well, it was like the NFL 2K versus Madden back when 2K,
yeah,
still existed.
Yeah. Oddly that differentiation survives in like basketball.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because they have NBA 2K and what's the EA one?
There was a lot of NBA attempts on both sides to rebrand. Yeah. They rebranded so many times. Like one was Jam. There was
no NBA Jam was like NFL Blitz before there was.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Was it Live? They all kind of names.
But it's fascinating. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine playing NBA 2K. I wonder who that appeals. I guess. I mean, I have.
There's a clear
like a racial thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
I mean, not that white people don't play it, but
yeah. Same way white frat boys play Madden, right?
Yeah. And both. And there's overlap in both ways, but yeah, it's definitely a clear. Yeah, 2K. 2K is a. It's the grape drink of sports games, right?
The grape drink of sports games. Oh man. All right. Well, was there anything else or I can't I'm trying to think of I don't know what else to say. We haven't done in a little bit the like thumbs up thumbs down. Would you ultimately thumbs up Madden?
No, because that implies you should buy it this year and you shouldn't buy this year's Madden.
You shouldn't buy any year's Madden.
Really,
I guess.
Yeah, it's essentially it is like.
But yeah, no, especially not these days. I mean, football is so. I mean, that's like it was one of the. Sorry. Okay, we're gonna have to.
We can just wrap it.
I mean, that's how to say. I mean, I think that's one of Zog's greatest tricks, greatest feats was turning football from this working class pastime and you know this kind of sublimated battle, and you know just a genuinely enjoyable. Thing.
When the origins are in like the World War II, like units of players,
right,
would play football. The first Super Bowl, like good teams, where they would usually the code was you'd only draft out of college. It was the Chiefs coach. It was before even the NFL. He broke the rules where he went to all the like ex players who were the best players from the war for like the, you know, the 101st Airborne's team. And he picked a team of those guys, and they would...
Man, of course they would did well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and taking something like that and turning it into... And really parasitizing... Because, I mean, okay, look, baseball... Yes, it's got a lot of Mexicans, but it's... I don't know. I guess I don't watch as much, or didn't used to watch quite as much baseball, but I didn't get the sense that they... Like, I think that they really leveraged the status of football as you know, as of, 1990-something.
R.I.P., what, Jimmy the Greek...
Yeah, right. They leveraged,
and you put the slimy like betting line stuff with Jimmy the Greek. That was
just a straight up gambler.
But it was pre John Madden. He cleaned things up. ESPN would be like, "All right, are they going to beat the spread?"
Yeah,
and
right.
Madden was like, "No, we're playing a sport."
Yeah, we're doing exactly. And taking this, you know, taking something that you know is relatively wholesome and very white endeavor. And respectable, and something that John Madden is very much responsible for cleaning up and bringing this kind of serious and ethos to and emphasizing the cerebral aspects of and trying to insist on certain behavioral standards. Because I don't think any of this you know felon shit would have flown either, right? In the 80s or really even in the 90s is I think when it started, but
it's hard to say. I mean,
not nearly to the extent. I mean, I don't think you would have like a
you could also cover things up back then.
That's
in a way you can't now, which is probably why you see all this stuff is because you just can't cover it up. Also, like cell phone cameras are a big part of the fight.
Sure. But anyway, just to complete the thought it doesn't seem to me that baseball, even though it's in some ways more kind of bound up. I mean, it's been around longer.
It's more international.
That too, but it's also more bound up in the American, like, you know, people call the baseball, I think you still hear baseball referred to as America's pastime, even if the NFL is bigger money and probably on balance more popular.
100%.
You know, people still think of America as baseball rather than football, right? For the most part, especially non-Americans will still think in those terms. But yeah, to take football and to pervert it and to twist it and have it be this target for subversion... And to try to like, you know, put in all these just this culture jamming, culture distortion in Yaki's phrase, right? It's just disgusting, and it's really unfortunate, and it's obviously, you know, you can't endorse, you know, participating in any way as things stand or for the foreseeable future. So yeah, I guess thumbs down on Madden, sadly. Yeah.
Oh, Tecmo Bowl's great.
Tecmo Bowl, lots, and people still play it. People still, I think there's still, like, you know, I'm sure it's not big money or anything, but I think there's still, like, championships and stuff.
I'm
people
sure.
Still,
yeah.
People still play Tecmo Bowl for sure. Anyway, I think that's enough on that. So hope you all have enjoyed, and yeah, take care, everybody.
Dumb. Girls are dumb.